Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. Our guest today is Michelle Bauman. Michelle is the director of Why for Life. As a director of Why for Life, Michelle helps high school and college students learn about life issues and how to address them from a gospel-motivated perspective. In our conversation today, Michelle shares the wide scope of life issues and why it is important for all of us to recognize that God values and loves life. He consistently preserves, protects, and provides for all of his people. Before we start our conversation with Michelle, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their continued support of the CPH podcast. Imagine a future where your God-given gifts continue to benefit your family and faith after you've been called home to heaven. The LCMS Foundation is here to help you create a gift plan so that your assets, things like your retirement accounts, home, or land, will leave a lasting impact on the people you love and the ministries you care about the most. Learn more about creating your gift plan at lcmsfoundation.org. Now onto our conversation with Michelle Bauman. Michelle, welcome to the CPH podcast.
Yeah, welcome. I'm so glad to be here.
It's great to have you. You've had a busy time over these last few weeks with the Why for Life conference and Life Week. Tell us a little bit about that whole experience for those of us that couldn't be there in Washington and at the conference and at the march. What was it like? What was the atmosphere like? What did people experience?
Yeah, so every year, Why for Life has a conference in Washington, D.C. It's in association with the March for Life. And we always start on Thursday. We start just after supper, right? Gives everybody a chance to travel to D.C. And we actually have our event in Crystal City. And then we bring in speakers. So this year, Trevor Sutton, who's an author at CPH, was one of our speakers. And the event goes from Thursday night until Saturday at noon. And so part of the event is participating in the March for Life. And this year, the March for Life was very unique. We've never done it. I've never done it before in snow. I know it's happened in snow a number of years ago, but in the last 5 years that I've worked for Lutherans for Life, that's not happened. So typically we will head down on Friday morning after we've had a devotion. And this year we had a speaker as well. So that was nice. We got a chance to talk to Melissa Oden. She came and spoke to us about abortion survivors. She's the executive director of Abortion Survivor Network and has a really gospel-motivated message about the value of life, even those lives that that are mistakenly born. We know, obviously, that's not a mistake, and we thank God that those babies survived. So anyway, after she spoke, we had a devotion, then we headed down to the march. The march was really great this year. And the snow actually made it really, really pretty. It was a lot colder than it was the last couple of years and a lot wetter. I gave up trying to keep my feet dry after about 30 minutes. I thought, okay, we're just going to deal, right? But we had a fantastic time. There were about 340 youth that joined us. And then there were some more youth that actually joined us on site to march in the March for Life. And then we were blessed enough to be kind of near the front. So it was a little bit quicker than some years in the past, right? Some years it can be more of a shuffle and pretty long. But this year we were able to get toward the front of that line and really just take part in this celebration of life. It's always wonderful to be there and to be united with so many people, Christians across the nation, but even those that don't have faith, but that can come and join in the celebration of life and verify and pronounce boldly that every life is valuable, right? So it's just a very life-affirming experience and kind of one of those, you know, mountaintop experiences that youth have when they come. Some are able to come every year that they're in college or high school, but a lot, you know, they come once, maybe twice. And then, and so they really look forward to those opportunities. And then we come back in the evening after we're all, you know, we've had some time to look at Washington, D.C., maybe do some touring, grab some dinner, and then we come back and have panel discussion. So this year, our panel discussion was on gender and sexuality, which was fantastic. We had four phenomenal panelists who answered some really tough questions and really thoughtful questions that our youth posed. And then we end the night that way, talking again about a very contemporary life issue. And then the next morning, we ended with two other speakers, one of which also is an author for you, Krista Petzold. And she did our closing presentation. Before that was Amy Skogerbo. And we talked about joy in suffering, and as well as the role that we play vocationally as a church, how we're called to uphold each other. So again, it was really just a wonderful event, but yes, a big event. We're out there for almost a week, getting ready and then having the event and then packing up to come home. So yeah, big event, big month. So
you mentioned it being a mountaintop experience, and I would imagine, especially for the youth, the high school and the college students that are able to attend, in their daily lives, they're probably facing a lot of opposition to their support for life or challenges to that. And I would imagine for them to be surrounded by so many people at the march and at the conference who respect life and value it and praise God for it, that has to be really encouraging for those students.
Yeah, that is exactly the word I would use, is encouraging. our Concordias now, well, as of this spring, we'll all have Y for Life teams. And some of them come to the march. And like this year, Nebraska, Concordia, Nebraska brought 101 people, which is just phenomenal. Our Concordia, Wisconsin students, some of them joined us at the march. We had Concordia, Chicago students, well over 30 students from there. And so it's a time of encouragement, but also it's kind of like a reunion, right? Mm-hmm. They get to see friends maybe that they've played against at CIT, or they've just interacted with at previous marches, or maybe at Y for Life retreats. So you get to see that community build. We always have a special event for college students the first night so they can reconnect. And we usually, you know, have some sort of catered opportunity for them. But then we just kind of set out games and let them interact. And this year, I mean, they were having so much fun. I had to tell them the time was up, right? It's time to go to bed. But it was so great. And then for our high school students, again, too, they're connecting within states. We have multiple groups from Indiana that come. We have a group from Missouri, groups from Missouri that come to the event. We had a group from Virginia this year. So I do a lot of get to know you activities that first night that helps them mix and mingle, right? It helps them meet each other. And then you can kind of see, again, some friendships forming or maybe some friendly rivalries with other schools. And so, yeah, it is exciting. And encouraging, but also, you know, just one of those opportunities for us to gather together, which I think I know is so important, right? For our emotional health, our social health, young people, they need those opportunities, and so do adults, right? Uh-huh. But I think young people need to see that there's people around the United States who think like them, right?
Absolutely.
And who want to uphold life. And you're right. A lot of them are, even though they're in Lutheran schools, some of them are in public schools, there's still pushback, right? Our Lutheran school population, about 30% of most schools are Lutheran, and others are non-denominational, some not Christian. And so certainly our youth are exposed to the world on social media, but also in their schools, right? And so it's good to have that affirming experience for them.
So tell us a little bit about the structure of Y for Life and how that looks across the country in the different schools. And then the second part of that is, what are some of the common reasons that you hear from the youth for wanting to be involved? I'm thinking of our local Lutheran high school where my students go. I know they have a Y for Life group there.
Yeah.
What does that look like, and why do you see them wanting to be involved?
Yeah. So in different areas, it looks different in different schools, right? So we've purposely created flexibility so that schools can develop a team that's right for their location, right? So, but basic premise is we have Y for Life teams in high schools and Y for Life teams in colleges. And in a high school, you have an advisor, usually one or two, sometimes two adults that kind of take these students under their wings and say, I'm going to help you organize events. I'm going to be your cheerleader, right? I'm going to make sure that everything is kosher with administration, help you advertise, those sorts of things. It's usually a teacher or maybe a chaplain that has some passion for the life issues in general and really cares deeply for their students and wanting to uphold their lives. That's a common thread that I see in my high school leaders, whether they're youth or adults. They care for each other. They care about helping others, right? And ultimately, life issues, they boil down to that. And we can talk more about that in a little bit. But it is about affirming life, not just at the beginning and not just at the end, but throughout life. So in a high school level, you've got a couple of adults that are helping man that group and making sure it continues. And then at the college level, most often those are very, very much led by young people, by college students. You certainly have a faculty advisor that also gives input or assistance, but most often, I mean, the primary work is done by the students, and it's very much a student-led organization, which is, again, great. It's preparing them for adulthood on their own, which they're already kind of experiencing at college. And so each team then I help them work through a study of their environment, right? So their schools, what life issues exist in their schools that they could work on? What life issues are their schools ready to talk about, right? So that's going to look different in Nebraska than it is in Chicago, right? Because it's not that people are different, it's that our environments sometimes lend themselves to certain life issues. For example, my Chicago team has done a couple of different activities to teach people about refugees, right? And the life issues associated with that. There aren't as many refugees in Seward, Nebraska, right? So again, life issues look different based on the needs of the community. And that's really, I love that flexibility. And I think my Y for Life teams do as well, because they get to serve in the ways that God has prepared for them to serve, right? So if you have a high school where you've got a lot of students who are adopted, or you have a high rate of unplanned pregnancies, those are natural life issues to talk about and to serve, right? You have a student population that needs to not only know about those life issues, but also how to intervene in a way that upholds life. How can they come together and do the work necessary to uphold those lives? We try to make it flexible enough that there's no, you absolutely have to cover this topic. We do like our life teams to cover one topic that's kind of a bullseye topic, like, people are dying. So abortion, physician-assisted suicide. And we like our teams to cover at least one of those a year. But there's also some, when you look at a target, some outer ring life issues that may be very real. And by supporting people in those outer rings, you might be preventing a death, right? That's a long answer to.
No, it's great. So at a basic level, tell us about we should all be caring about life. We should all be for life. But as you mentioned, life issues are bigger than simply abortion or physician assisted suicide. And there's this whole range. Tell us about the range and why this matters for all of us.
Yeah. So life issues, there's kind of like at LFL, we talk about four tiers. One where people are dying, right? So that's like kind of an immediate necessary action that needs to take place. But we don't all have people who are experiencing unplanned pregnancies in our lives, or people who are considering suicide, or, you know, those sort of things. And that doesn't mean that God hasn't given us the opportunity to uphold life. And he does so through our vocations, right? So God places us in relationships with others with the intent of being served by them as well as serving them. And that, you know, we are, as Christians, the hands and feet of God, right? We are the ones, God works through us to bless his people, as well as those who are not yet his people, right? With the message of love and the importance of life, but also upholding life. We see that directive very clearly in the Gospels, when we talk about Jesus's response to the homeless, to the widows, to acts of mercy, right? That those acts of mercy are necessary because we live in a fallen world that's broken by sin. So we have an opportunity with those four tiers to kind of help people based on where God has us right now and the relationships he's given us. So sometimes that is intervening to save a life, but sometimes it is intervening so that the long-term life expectancy will increase. So for example, homelessness and human trafficking, ironically, this is true of both. If there is no intervention, the average lifespan of someone who's homeless or human trafficked is 7 years. So we talk about how there are things that we can do today to help uphold those lives. We also talk about life issues that will lead to larger life issues. For example, dating. For example, and again, dating as the world sees dating versus how God would intend it. Marriage and family. Divorce is a life issue, right? Whenever their lives are being harmed, or whenever their lives are not being upheld in the way that God intended, we have a life issue. Sometimes those life issues are philosophies that we hold or our society holds. I often use the one child policy as an example when I teach youth about this. Of course, America's never had that policy, but we do have other cultural beliefs that maybe aren't life affirming, like big families are a mistake, right? Or that we should automatically engage in birth control, or that we, when any of the isms, right? So like racism or classism, any of those beliefs separate us, and they belittle one group of people and elevate another. And so we're valuing one life over another life. And that's a life issue. Right. So we we don't even know how many life issues in a day that we come in contact with. But part of being in the life movement is recognizing those life issues, right? Recognizing God has placed this person in my life and given me the opportunity to uphold that life. You know, whether it's someone with a disability, someone suffering from depression, someone experiencing divorce, right? Those sorts of things. So.
Well, it's an opportunity for us to remember that it is so wide ranging. It's not one or two niche things. And we are called to care for our neighbor and the people that God has put into our paths. And even just as you're talking, I'm thinking about things that I think for our listeners, it'll be kind of eye opening to think about these things as life issues. And it's important that we think about it in that way and that we care for others. What often our culture will give the message, especially to women, my body, my choice. How does Why for Life suggest responding to that? I mean, we come across the, and I'm sure this is not the only type of message that we receive from the culture. It's one of many, but how do we respond to that? And how do we pivot to a point of life? All life is valuable.
Yeah, it's a good question. And we actually have an acronym called Calvary that kind of helps youth have those types of discussions, right? Because those types of discussions are very difficult if you don't have a connection with that person. But we still need to have an answer, a response, right? And one of the elements of Calvary is affirming where you can. And it is true that every woman's body is hers, right? It is a gift that has been given hers, and it is a valuable gift, right? And we want to affirm that with women. You're right. Your body is important. It is so valuable. And your right to want to protect your body and to care for it. But obviously there's another body at work here too, right? There's a body internally, but usually in those situations, we focus on first the woman, right? Because obviously she's saying that because she's afraid or because she's angry. There's a variety of feelings that cause a woman to respond in that way, especially if she's found out she's pregnant, right? My body, my choice. But let's talk about then what's best for your body, right? So your body, first of all, we know is made to support life. And that's such a valuable gift. But sometimes young women aren't ready to head there. So let's talk about what abortion does to your body, right? It has the potential to scar you to the point that you will never be able to carry a baby full term again. In fact, it may actually prevent you from ever carrying a baby. We know that abortion has very serious side effects on our mental and physical health, right? So we know that abortion increases the likelihood of depression. It increases the likelihood of suicide. It increases the likelihood of engaging in activities that are going to be harmful, like drug use, alcohol, marijuana. We know that anxiety increases in women who have had abortions. So because we care about your body, let's talk about other alternatives that are actually better for your body. And one of those alternatives is carrying a baby full term, right? It's actually, we know, the best alternative for your body. Whether you end up keeping that baby or not, an abortion increases the risk of breast cancer. Carrying a baby to full term actually decreases the risk of breast cancer, right? So there's so many things that we can share with women. And you know, again, depending on the consequences, or maybe not the consequences, the reason they're experiencing unplanned pregnancy, or the reason that they're advocating for my body, my choice, it's good to get to the root of that, right? And then affirm where you can, right? Agree where you can, but then respond with the truth, right? The truth is your body is good. The truth is your body, good things can happen to it and bad things can happen to it. Let's talk about the difference between those two. So, yeah.
In a kind of related vein, it wasn't all that long ago that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. How did that affect your work with Y for Life and Lutherans for Life?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the things it did is it continued to energize young people. They were energized before, but this also, they were very excited to see that, you know, finally the courts were in line with truth, with God's word, which is the is truth, right? So it energized a lot of them. But it also created for many of them more contentious environments, right? So that argument comes back to the states now, right? And so I actually have seen many youth get even more involved in their area, in their state, to advocate for life because it's necessary. But I also see more of them being attacked. And so they need that affirmation and those resources to continue to speak the truth. So events like Y for Life in Washington, D.C., or leadership retreats or our apologetics retreat, those are of high interest. They want to know how to speak for life and to do so in their communities. I think, you know, a lot of people thought the pro-life movement would just kind of, you know, die out because Roe v. Wade was overturned, but actually now youth are seeing the effects in their communities in comparison to other communities that have embraced life, right? So right next door, I live in Indiana, and we have laws that protect babies, unborn babies now. Right next door in Illinois, they don't, right? And so I see this, again, this urgency there and this desire to protect life.
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, it's only fired up the decision over, fired up the opposition to life. And I was at a conference not that long ago, where there was an exhibitor who was basically trying to help connect organizations to support women who were in states like Illinois who are not protecting life and get them and move. And it was a little bit eye-opening to see that, one, because it was supposed to be a conference having to deal with Christianity and biblical things. And you see that in that realm. But our students today, it's great that they have such a network through Y for Life to keep that encouragement, because they are going to continue to face opposition depending on where they're at, from people who don't agree with that decision. Yeah. And so to help equip them for that, I think is tremendous.
Yeah. Well, we see it as a real honor, right? What a wonderful time to be involved in upholding life and in life ministry. You know, God has blessed us with so many youth that are excited about the message and excited to share the message. And it is humbling to see that outgrowth, to see the Holy Spirit at work in our youth, to create that desire and to see the enthusiasm. I mean, when I first came on staff, you know, our Nebraska team was nowhere near 100 strong, right? And our Concordia Chicago team was basically non-existent. They had 2 students, right? And now they're in their, they've got 30 coming to DC and even more that are nominally involved on campus. And to see Concordia Ann Arbor start a team and Concordia Irvine this last year. And St. Paul is the one that will be starting this spring. And they have a club this year. But they're, you know, we've been working so hard and praying so much that God would lead youth to want to do this at Concordia St. Paul. And they've had an adult leader ready to help. But God provided and in abundance, right? It's not just 1 or 2 kids that want to be part of the team, but you know, they're having activities where 20 or 30 are showing up. So it's very exciting to see.
So if one of our listeners is at a school or an area where they don't have a Y for Life team, how can they get started?
Yeah, all they need to do, just contact me. What we do then is I kind of give them some basic information. This is what a Y for Life team looks like and what you need to have, you know, as far as an adult leader or, you know, whether it's a faculty member and some basic, we're gospel motivated. What makes us different from the average pro-life group, right? And then we set up a training session. So we either do that in person or we do it online. In person is kind of fun because we have a weekend retreat and we get together and cook meals together and we go through all the stuff and a lot of times we'll do it with other high schools, right? So again, kids in their area can meet other young people. But if that doesn't work out, and sometimes it doesn't because, you know, youth are involved in basketball and cheerleading and drama and all the fine arts, right? Sports and fine arts. So sometimes we have to split it up and we just do some online, you know, Zoom training to equip the young people. So reach out to Michelle at yforlife.org and I will get you started. So
they have, and so you've provided a great resource. How else can our listeners get involved if they want to support Y for Life and learn more about what you're doing there? How can they get involved?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would encourage people to go to yforlife.org. Our website has so much information, so many downloadables that are free, you know, lesson plans for life, Y for Life kits that you can use in your church, brochures that are full color infographic brochures that can be downloaded or ordered at a very inexpensive cost. Follow us on social media. We're at lflyforlife.org or at lflyforlife. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. Just we're on YouTube, wherever we can be. And of course, there is a Facebook page, Lutherans for Life, where we, the youth branch, post quite frequently as well. But the other thing is too, you know, look for opportunities to engage in your area. And we'd love to come to your area. So if you want, you know, a speaker or a one day From Fertilization to Forever conference, we are happy to set that up. Right now, we actually are gearing up for our Wife for Life Summit, which is going to happen mid-February, the 18th, 5th, the 16th, 17th, 18th in February at Concordia, Nebraska. And it's open to high school and college youth. Registration is open until the 10th. But one of the things that we're doing is we're going to put together homeless personal care kits for we're partnering with Matt Talbot in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they serve the homeless community. And so we are right now asking for people to make donations. So if you go to our social media page or the wifeforlife.org, you can find the link to make donations, and you simply follow it. It will take you right to Amazon, and you can have that shipped directly to my assistant who lives in Nebraska. So she'll be bringing all that stuff. Or if you live close, right, drop it off at the campus. Some people are sending gift cards so that we can purchase that. But we've got a lot of churches that are excited about helping in that way. So that would be another like real time. You can do this now. Follow the link. Jump on and send us what we need. Our goal is to make 1,000 kits. So it's a big goal, but together we can do it. So
I have no doubt that you'll hit that goal. That'll be terrific. As we wrap up, leave our listeners with a word of encouragement about the importance of life and how we can support that as we go about interacting with our neighbors on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, so here's the words I would remind you, and that is that God has equipped you, specially equipped you, to uphold life. He does so through His Word and sacraments, and He does so through the people that He has given you, His community of believers that surround you. And not only that, but He calls you to that work, right? In your baptism, you were called to faith, and you were called to life in Him. And you have this amazing message to share with others. And sometimes the way they receive that message is through your acts of mercy that then lead to conversations about life. And I think, you know, it's important to remember that we're not doing this work because we're trying to seek, you know, God's love. He already has given us that love. He has poured it out in abundance on us and equipped us to go out into the community and share that with the world. So I would just encourage people not to be afraid to engage, to recognize that they have something that the world doesn't give. And that is the light of Christ and the love of Christ. It is a message that life is valuable. That is a message that that is life changing, right? To someone who does not realize their value. So,
listeners, I encourage you to take a look at Wife for Life and see how you can get involved and support what they're doing. We'll link to your website in the show notes, so it'll be really easy for folks to go in and hop over there. Michelle, thanks so much for visiting with us today. It's an encouraging conversation. It's important for all of us to remember that we do have the ability to go out and care for those around us, and the life issues are far bigger than we might think at first blush. So thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks so much for the invitation, and blessings on your work at CPH.
Same to you. Listeners, we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.